All right, so I hope you're enjoying Youth Sunday. The sermon's very short. Truly, it is. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So putting on everything this week, yeah, I didn't get a chance to really rehearse it, so forgive me if I'm just reading, but it's still good stuff, I think. So here goes. This morning, I get the privilege to share with you guys a little of my heart to, well, all of you, but specifically to the seniors, wherever they're sitting. I know a few are here, but there he is. So I've done this, I don't know, 6-7 years, put on a Youth Sunday, and it's been good, but it's hard at the same time. So after every service or during every sermon, I've been sharing just this one main theme, and it comes from this verse. It's Romans 12:2. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, I need to give you a little background, a little context that leads up to Romans 12. So Paul, the author, just spent 9 chapters giving a very convincing argument for the acceptance and justification of Gentile believers. So now in chapter 10 and 11, Paul starts working on the Jewish believers and Gentile believers together. He does something amazing in chapter 11. He talks about how the Gentile believers have been grafted in to the already existing tree. So this, I'm not a gardener, but I've had this explained to me very in detail. If you don't know what grafting is, it's basically taking a piece of dead branch and putting it in between two live branches and binding it together, and then that branch becomes alive. So essentially, what Paul is saying here, that you've been grafted. We are, as Gentile believers, grafted into the already tree. That is Israel, his chosen. So it goes on. Paul, in a confident way, says to the Gentile and Jewish believers that neither side should think they are more special than the other. Rather, that both sides are now both standing in God's mercy. And so that brings us to chapter 12. We see in verse 1 that Paul is telling the Jewish and Gentile believers to respond to God's mercy. It says in 12:1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So, says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Or in my words, offer every aspect, every fiber of yourself, and offer what makes you, you. Then it goes on, it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Or again, my words, this is how you are to worship. This is how you do it. Now, Paul doesn't stop there, and this is the focus of my time up here and to the graduates. So I want the graduates, but of course everyone else, but I pray that the graduates hear these words. And that's verse 2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have to say that, yes, these words were said thousands of years ago to Gentile and Jewish believers, but these words that Paul used are very relevant today for all of us. So we as a collective body, and you as an individual person, need to hear these words. If you are worshiping God in the manner of verse 1, that's giving your body as a holy and living sacrifice, then what follows is a result. But notice that Paul says it differently. Paul specifically says it in a commanding manner. I believe this is so because he knows, just like we know, that we can't do verse 1 and still mess up royally, or just mess up because it happens, like sin happens. But in verse 2, Paul says to no longer conform to the pattern of the world. That pattern is sin. So, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean to be transformed, or what are we transforming into? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:18, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. We are being transformed into his likeness. Whose likeness? Jesus himself. You don't have to answer. I'll answer for you. This is huge. So by not conforming, we are transforming into Jesus' likeness. So for the graduates, I know that graduation is important. It marks the ending of the time you spent in school as a kindergartner or preschooler, well, to now. That's about 14 years of your life. That means you've done nothing really other than school. That's not true. I mean, you have a lot of other accomplishments. I don't want to dismiss those, but what I'm trying to say is there's 14 years of your 17, 18, 19-year-old life. That's a lot of years. So this being graduating, this is a great accomplishment. And so I want to say congratulations, just like everybody else will to you. But as you venture out into the world, the workforce, college, or whatever you have planned, please remember, first and foremost, God loves you more than you know, that he died for you, for your sins, that he was raised in 3 days, and that in all you do, make it an act of worship, so that you are not conforming to the pattern of the world, but your mind is being renewed through the transformation into Jesus' likeness. That's all I have. I wrote it down. That's where I end. But, I mean, I don't know how to explain to you, I guess, the hugeness that is of us being transformed into his likeness. I only know from my experience personally, I don't know, 17 years ago. Yeah, that's how old I am. 17 years ago when I first decided to give my life to Christ. That transformation didn't happen, you know, with a snap of a finger. It happens over time, but I felt it. I see it. I know it. So I know as you graduate, as we grow older, always, we have to keep in mind that you are being transformed into his likeness, which is amazing.